morning on the WCHL Morning News. Walk zones in the Chapel Hill Carborough City School District are well overdue for revision.
Before they were completed, they had already exceeded the anticipated generation rates for students.
Before he leaves, Chancellor Holden Thorpe has something to say about the UNC system of governance.
You take the president plus the two boards. The chancellor works for 45 politically appointed people.
And in the ongoing effort to improve the sexual assault issues on campus, UNC has appointed a special task force.
Change is in the works, and change is likely to happen over the summer.
These stories and much more coming up. Bless your Chapel Hill cover of traffic and weather together. And at WCHL Championship Sports, a lot of student-athletes are busy with exams this week, so no baseball or softball, but we'll catch you up on tennis. And Art Chansky will be along to talk about Duke University sneaking by the NCAA Violations Committee in today's Sports Notebook. This is Ron Stutz along with the WCHL community crew broadcasting live at Squid's Restaurant. It's a teacher's first breakfast for 2013.
This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
Good morning. It's a beautiful day. Lots of sunshine. High today in the upper 60s. Not going to be really all that warm today, but just perfect out there so far this morning. Sun shining brightly, and everybody's got a smile on the face this morning at the teacher's first breakfast at Squid's. This is a chaotic situation here, but a chaotic in a good way, I mean. A lot of folks here for the teacher's first breakfast, and it's all about teacher appreciation. This event put on by the Chapel Hill Carborough Public School Foundation. It's going to be partly sunny today, high today about 68 degrees, as I said, and just doesn't get any better than that. Outgoing UNC Chapel Hill Chancellor Holden Thorpe blasted the UNC system of governance, saying it is driven by politics and entrenched stakeholders who don't want to give up their jobs. In a WCHL News special with Jim Hefner, Thorpe said that puts UNC at a competitive disadvantage.
Would you change the governance process of the university?
Oh, yes, I would. I think we have the most complicated, convoluted governance system. I'm sure in 1971 when Mr. Friday devised the whole thing, it made perfect sense. But to have two governing boards, both politically appointed, I don't think there's anything you can do about the fact that in a public university you can have a politically appointed board. But to have two boards where there's always debate and some confusion about where the authority lies makes it very, very hard to figure out the right course of action. If you take the president plus the two boards, the chancellor works for 45 politically appointed people. Private universities have large boards, but they're not politically appointed, and some of them serve for a long time, so they develop a lot of expertise about the university.
Chancellor Thorpe said he sees a simple solution, but it's one about which he is not optimistic.
If I had the ability to change the system, I think we ought to go to a system where the chancellor just works for one board. I don't think that's going to happen because it would displace people who are in roles that they have sought deliberately. But yes, I think that that puts North Carolina at a competitive disadvantage compared to states where the president and chancellor is either working for just a campus board or just a system board.
You can hear the final part of the interview this morning in just a few minutes at 8:30 and then again at 3:30 and 5:30 during the WCHL Afternoon and Evening News with Aaron Keck. The interview will be played in its entirety on Saturday and Sunday here on WCHL and streaming live on chapelboro.com. The incoming chancellor of the country's oldest public university will enjoy several benefits beyond her $520,000 annual salary when she moves from the Ivy League to North Carolina this summer. The terms are included in an agreement Dartmouth College interim president Carol Folt signed last month and that UNC released yesterday. Folt, of course, picked last month as the first female chancellor at UNC. She replaces Holden Thorpe and will start by July 1st. Folt will live in a Chapel Hill home provided by the university with utilities, housekeeping, maintenance, and groundskeeping paid. Folt also is entitled to a car, health insurance, retirement benefits, and annual leave. A database of university employees lists more than a dozen Chapel Hill medical school professors with higher salaries than Carol Folt's. The ongoing federal investigation of UNC's handling of sexual assault cases is far from over, but a new task force is charged to review and enhance the university's policies on the issue. It's a diverse 21-member compilation of students and leaders within the Carolina community. WCHL's Rachel Nash has details.
We're going to really line up the current policy with all of that feedback and federal regulations to create a product that works for the entire campus community here.
That's Christy Hurt, UNC's new interim Title IX coordinator. She'll chair the task force, which will meet throughout the summer and is made up of UNC students, faculty, and staff. Members were chosen on their expertise with and research related to tackling the emotional and complex issues involving sexual assault. Ann Penn, UNC's Equal Opportunity and American with Disabilities Act officer, appointed the task force. Members include Deputy Chief George Hare of the UNC Department of Public Safety, Terry Phoenix, Director of the UNC LGBTQ Center, and UNC Student Body President Christy Lambden.
Change is in the works, and change is likely to happen over the summer, and I'm excited to be part of it.
In preparation for the work to be done this summer, Lambden created an all-student task force that has met three times. They came up with 27 recommendations that Lambden will present to Hurt. Terry Phoenix has been doing interpersonal primary prevention work throughout her career. She brings expertise and national best practice approaches to preventing sexual assault.
I think that I can bring a perspective that is really attuned to looking at all of the intersecting identities and all of the communities that we have on our campus as we think through the policy piece of it, as well as the education and the prevention and the response planning.
The task force will follow guidance from the Office for Civil Rights and build on the recommendations of Gina Smith. Smith is a former prosecutor whom Chancellor Holden Thorpe recruited in January. She's helping the university sort through the sexual misconduct investigation and is working with more than a dozen universities, helping to open up dialogues about sexual assault. Here's Hurt speaking about Smith's role with the new task force.
Her feedback and the feedback that she's collected from people here at UNC is going to be a tremendous influence on this policy.
Hurt says the group's goal is to present recommendations to Penn by the end of the summer, but then the work still won't be done.
I expect this to be a living document on some level for a long time while we keep figuring out what is working here for the community. So there will be some unveiling in the fall, but with additional points of feedback.
For more information about how you can get involved in the conversation on sexual assault, visit our website, chapelboro.com. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Thank you, Rachel. Once again, this is Ron Stutz at Squid's Restaurant for the Teacher's First Breakfast. UNC student Zaina Al-Sous is speaking out after being arrested during Wednesday's student protest in Raleigh against recent state legislation. Here is Al-Sous.
And so for us, we felt as though in this moment we really have no other option.
Al-Sous and fellow UNC student Carissa Morrison were charged with disorderly conduct. Morrison also charged with misdemeanor assault on a government official. Five students in total were taken into custody. The group NC Student Power Union mobilized more than 350 students from 10 universities from around the state. It happened on May Day. The rally started at the North Carolina State Bell Tower and ended at the legislature. Protesters held a banner that read, "We demand a future. Stop budget cuts. Stop racist voter laws. Stop attacks on workers." This coming just days after 17 people were arrested during an NAACP demonstration on Monday against a House-supported voter ID bill.
And hope that other community members will see what's going on and express their discontent as well, because we know that these policies are incredibly unpopular.
Governor Pat McCrory's proposed budget cuts to the UNC system total more than $140 million.
I don't know any college student who wants to pay more for tuition, who wants to lose their financial aid. And with these budget cuts, over 8,000 students would lose financial aid.
Chapel Hill Carborough City School Board members say it might be time to reevaluate a key planning tool used to estimate school capacity. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has details.
Each year around this time, school officials sign off on the annual SAPFO report, which analyzes student enrollment and estimates the need for new facilities. And although the Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools Board last night approved this year's report without hesitation, school board members agree it may be time to review the way student generation rates are calculated. Assistant Superintendent Todd LaFreeze told the school board that recent projections have not been accurate, in part because new developments don't fit the model currently in place.
Some neighborhoods like Chapel Watch Village or even Chapel Hill North or the multifamily units in Winmore and Claremont, before they were completed, they had already exceeded the anticipated generation rates for students.
SAPFO stands for Schools Adequate Public Facilities Ordinance. It's an agreement between the school systems, towns, and counties to use planning data on new residential development to project school enrollment before a permit is issued. If the projections exceed school capacity, SAPFO calls for a delay on construction until new facilities are in place. But the decade-old ordinance is under fire from several directions. School officials in the Chapel Hill-Carborough district are seeing higher-than-expected student generation rates from new apartment complexes, while Orange County officials say growth in Mebane is skewing their numbers, so the town is not a party to the SAPFO agreement. And a recent North Carolina Supreme Court ruling may take the teeth out of the ordinance by prohibiting the towns from withholding permits to developers on the basis of SAPFO numbers. With all this in mind, Chapel Hill-Carborough City School Board members want the county to consider a study to review how the SAPFO ordinance is working. A full review could cost as much as $100,000, while a report only on student generation rates could cost about $40,000. Annette Estrida said it might be worth the cost to look at the bigger picture.
Since both districts are interested in trying to get more accurate information, I just wonder if is it wise to go ahead and pursue a comprehensive study versus just this one piece related to the student generation rates, given our past challenges in being able to use the data to just extract one piece. Does it really give us all that we need?
Current SAPFO projections call for a new middle school for the Chapel Hill-Carborough district in 2017. But LaFree said if county commissioners decide to fund the Culver Science Wing expansion this year, it will increase the capacity and delay the need for a new school by 2 years. James Etta Bedford reiterated the need for the expansion, saying the current classrooms are unacceptable.
It's not just an addition. There's no water in those rooms. So they are inadequate spaces. They shouldn't be called science labs. They're just long hallway rooms that science is taught in.
County commissioners will consider funding for the science wing at a budget work session on May 9th. The SAPFO report will be forwarded to the county for approval later this month. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Good morning. It is 8:16, 16 minutes after 8 o'clock at WCHL. This is Ron Sutz broadcasting at Squid's Restaurant this morning. It is the annual Teacher's First Breakfast. This would not happen without the Chapel Hill-Carborough Public School Foundation. Executive Director of the Public School Foundation is Kim Hoke. Kim, good morning.
Good morning, Ron.
Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you for coming out.
I know that you, even though you were a very young woman, you have been to about 65 of these breakfasts. This is always fun, isn't it?
It's a great time, and we have incredibly wonderful, generous parents who want to show appreciation for their children's teachers who support this breakfast.
I know that we talk about all the people who are inside the restaurant, but there are a lot of people. When we're sitting here doing this morning show from inside the restaurant, there are a lot of people that we don't even see who come and go, and we don't even know about. How many of those are there?
Exactly. We serve hundreds of to-go breakfasts, and we had our first customer this morning was a school bus driver, and I love that. The
wow.
Parents remember the people who actually get their children to and from school safely every day.
Wow.
We had one school come and pick up 45 to-go boxes, so, you know, there are other things going on at the schools this morning, but
sure.
We want everybody to have the opportunity to come and participate in the breakfast.
And there are a lot of, I notice this every year, there are a lot of teachers who get here, and they get here early, and then they're in a hurry to get out so they can go to their classes and and get everything ready for the day.
Exactly, because it is a regular school day today.
Take just 30 seconds, if you would, and tell folks who might not know what the Chapel Hill-Carborough Public School Foundation is and what it does.
That's a terrific question, Ron. We are a nonprofit public school foundation, and our mission is to create learning opportunities for students and teachers. So we do a range of grant programs that impact schools and classrooms, individual students who are struggling, who may need opportunities for enrichment, and who may have academic issues. We support a broad range of kids. In fact, every year we probably generate and distribute about $300,000 to $400,000 to improve the education of our children.
Wow. Well, Kim, thank you so much for what you do year in and year out. I know you've been involved in the city school system for a long, long time, and we appreciate you.
Forever. Thank you so much, Ron. Appreciate you all coming out today.
Exactly. 8:17 at WCHL, 17 minutes after 8 o'clock. And coming up next, your traffic and weather together on WCHL. Traffic brought to you this morning by Crown Honda of South Point, home of Dream Service, where your scheduled service and maintenance on your car happen while you sleep. Dream Service from Crown Honda of South Point, located just a minute off I-40 at the 751 exit. Now, with traffic, here is Rand Northam.
Well, a fine morning this morning out on the roadways, Ron. I-40, 15501, NC-54, the Durham Freeway continuing to move just fine out there. No problems, no accidents, no delays reported at this time. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, be sure to give us a call, and you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. 919-967-8363 is the number to call, or you can tweet us at WCHL. And as always, we ask you do that safely.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you this morning by Glass Half Full, the friendly optimistic restaurant in Carborough. Also a wine bar and wine shop right in the heart of downtown. Good food, fine wine, lots of fun too, online at glasshalffullcarborough.com. Your Chapel Hill Carborough weather, absolutely beautiful this morning. It is 53 degrees and sunny skies today. High today about 68 degrees. Tonight partly cloudy with a low around 45. And then tomorrow we're looking at partly sunny skies with the highs in the upper 60s. Tomorrow night partly cloudy with a low in the upper 40s. And then on Sunday we'll get some clouds moving in here, mostly cloudy. 40% chance of showers and the highs in the upper 60s. 50-50 chance of rain on Sunday night as well. So the first part of the weekend is really great. Second part of the weekend, we might get some rain, but all of that is okay. We are feeling good today at Squid's Restaurant on Fortnum Boulevard at Chapel Hill. It is the annual Teacher's First Breakfast. It's put on by the Chapel Hill Carborough Public School Foundation. The president of the foundation is Ashley Wilson. And Ashley, how are you?
I am great, thank you.
You guys put in so much preparation for this. Tell us about the money, where the money comes from to do this. I mean, teachers' breakfast are paid for, right?
That is right. This is the kickoff to Teacher Appreciation Week. And parents purchase tickets to the breakfast for their teachers. And the Chapel Hill Restaurant Group actually donates the food. So the money that is made off of the breakfast is turned around and used to finance grants submitted by teachers. So it is a win-win for the teachers. They get a free breakfast, and it's a lovely breakfast. The food is beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And then the proceeds from the event are used to fund the innovative and necessary grant proposals that they submit for all sorts of projects in all the schools.
Ashley, how did you first get involved in this? I mean, I know you put in a lot of hours with this.
Well, I got involved in the foundation because I had some friends who were on the board, and I witnessed the good work that they were doing for the community. And I had been active in my children's schools, and I realized this was a way that I could help all the schools.
That's usually how it starts.
Yes.
Parents start volunteering with the schools because their kids are there, and then it expands into something much larger in scope. And
one of the beautiful things about the foundation is we have people on the board whose children went through the district and are either in college or out of college, but they feel so good about the work of the foundation, and they're still so grateful to the Chapel Hill Carborough school system that they are still giving back.
Suki Newton and about 100 others.
Exactly. Exactly.
But, Ashley, thank you so much for being with us.
It is my pleasure. Thank you all for being here.
Yeah, absolutely. The pleasure is all ours. And if you will hand the microphone to Greg Overbeck over there, we're going to get a quick word from him about the Chapel Hill Restaurant Group. And, Greg, we were talking about how the restaurant does the breakfast, but we should also point out that all the folks here from the restaurant who are working, all the folks from Chapel Hill Restaurant Group who are working here at the Teacher's First Breakfast are donating their time.
Yeah, I mean, everything is donated, Ron. I appreciate you saying that. But everything we do is, you know, we get some donations from our food vendors. But most of this, we buy the stuff, and 100% of the proceeds go to the Public School Foundation. All of it, my partners and I all feel that teachers are criminally underpaid and criminally
absolutely
not taken care of. I think that it's a shame that teachers aren't paid better and get more benefits. So if we can do some little thing to help them out, we have a lot of people on our staff. We've employed a lot of teachers over the years, so we're really, really happy to have this opportunity to help the teachers.
Well, it's a great way to give back to the schools and to the community at large, and you guys do so much to that end. Give me some rough idea of how much food is served, not just inside the restaurant, but outside the restaurant. Do you have a guess?
I know we cooked 150 pounds of bacon. I know that we had 35 gallons of fruit.
Wow.
I think we went through 7 cases of eggs.
I can imagine.
It's just a phenomenal amount of food in a very short time. I mean, that's what's really impressive about it, too, is, you know, I'm sure today we probably fed, I'm going to guess we fed about 1,200 or 1,300 people today in 2 hours, basically. So it's very impressive. And this breakfast went so smoothly. And I do want to give a shout-out to Andy Wilson, our chef, who is just tremendous and handles this so gracefully every year because we're asking a lot of him. But it's kind of fun, you know. It really is. I've told you that before, but it's a fun event, and we have a great time. It's always great to see all the volunteers again because we see a lot of the same faces every year. They all know what they're supposed to do.
Yep.
So, you know, we don't have to really – this isn't a real stressful event anymore. It's everybody knows what to do. We know how much food to order. So we're ready for it, and it's a lot of fun. And it's just so fantastic to help the teachers. So, and we love CHL being here, too.
It's a well-oiled machine.
It really is.
Thank you so much for not only doing this, but everything the Chapel Hill Restaurant Group does in our community.
Oh, you know, Ron, I've told you this before. I really appreciate that, but we don't advertise a lot. We do advertise with CHL.
Of course.
Barry Leffler's there. I wanted him to be sure and hear that.
Absolutely.
But we don't do a lot of advertising. What we really do believe in is giving back to the community and following sustainable practices. Those are our big things, and it seems to work. We've got a lot of fantastic people that work for us. You know, we really try to find good people. We take good care of them.
Yep.
And it's paid off for us, and we've been very, very fortunate to be successful. But we love giving back to the community.
Yep. So. We love doing it with you. Thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely. My pleasure, Ron.
Great to see you, as always.
You too.
And we're going to take a quick look at WCHL Championship Sports now. And sports brought to you this morning by Harrington Bank. You deserve banking like this. And really quickly here, no baseball game this weekend, no softball game this weekend. They're taking a little break for exams and will not be back in action until next week. Baseball team resumes play 6 o'clock on Tuesday night at Boschermer Stadium. Softball team resumes play next week as well. A few days off because, after all, they are student athletes. There is some tennis to tell you about this morning. Number 2-ranked North Carolina placed a program-high 4 selections in the NCAA Division I Singles Championships. The Women's Tennis Subcommittee announced this week singles and doubles competition will be conducted May 22nd through 27th in Urbana, Illinois, home of the University of Illinois, following the conclusion of the team championship, which runs from May 17th through 21st. Gina Suarez Malaguti, one of those outstanding tennis players for Carolina, and joining her in the singles field, fellow senior Zoe DeBroeker, sophomore Caroline Price, and freshman Whitney Kay. So congratulations to all of them. And that's a quick look at WCHL Championship Sports. Art Chansky is going to be along now to talk a little bit about what's happening at Duke University.
Art Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Duke and Lance Thomas got off, according to the information available. What a complete joke. This is Art Chansky with Friday Sports Notebook. Raise your hand if you thought there was a snowball's chance in hell that Duke would get penalized for the blatant NCAA rule former player Lance Thomas broke while still a member of the Blue Devils' 2010 National Championship team. That's right, I don't see a single hand raised out there. It's okay, because this laughable lack of litigation will just add to the divide over Duke basketball across the nation, with the pro-Dukies sighing in relief to themselves and the anti-Dukies believing more than ever that there's a double standard that Coach Mike Krzyzewski once claimed Dean Smith worked under. Thomas walked out of a Manhattan jewelry store in December of 2009 with $97,000 worth of bling, putting down $30,000 and promising to pay off the $67,000 and change in 30 days. That never happened, and the jewelry store eventually sued Thomas in January of 2012, almost 2 years after he was out of school. Oh, yes, the store was paid in full, and the lawsuit settled within 10 days, with confidentiality clauses tighter than a Kim Kardashian dress. The NCAA does not have subpoena power and could not get anything out of Thomas, who originally promised he would speak to the NCAA. Sure he did, and sure he will. Meanwhile, Duke claims it tried to find out where Thomas got the 30 G's and why he blew off the 67,000, but said it also could not get Thomas to talk. Raise your hands if you think the Duke lawyers really told Thomas to keep his mouth shut and this whole thing will blow over. Yep, I see all those hands up there. Sure, we are sensitive over here in Chapel Hill after what we've been through the last 3 years, and it irks us that the impermissible benefit Thomas got away with is more than all the stuff that Marvin Austin and company received combined. The rule is that Thomas cannot get such a deal unless any student can walk into a jewelry store and walk out with the same deal. Even the jeweler said he'd never do that before he clammed up, likely on orders from a Duke lawyer. The NCAA could have ruled Thomas ineligible on that fact alone, but obviously has no nads. It's not that I want the 2010 NCAA banner taken down at Cameron. That would be unfair to John Shire, Kyle Singler, and Nolan Smith, who were the real stars of that team. But it is that Duke should be treated like everyone else, and clearly is not. Raise your hand if you agree with that. This is our chance game. See ya.
It's the bottom of the hour. Time to take a look at your Chapel Hill cover of weather. And this weather forecast is brought to you this morning by Fifth Season Gardening, organic gardening, homebrew, hydroponics, cheese making, canning, and much more. Their downtown Carborough store, Fifth Season, not garden variety gardening store. It is 54 degrees, sunshine today, and a beautiful day so far. Partly sunny today. That's our forecast. High today about 68. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the middle 40s. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a high in the upper 60s. And on Sunday, a lot of clouds, 40% chance of rain with a high in the upper 60s. Coming up next on WCHL, Holden Thorpe and Jim Hebner.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
You're listening to 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Now, the WCHL Morning News with Ron Stutz.
Good morning. It is 8:32, 28 minutes until 9 o'clock at WCHL. This is Ron Stutz along with the WCHL community crew at Squid's Restaurant, the annual Teacher's First Breakfast. It's all about showing our appreciation for teachers in the Chapel Hill Carborough City school system. We'll have more on that coming up. But right now, let's take you back to the WCHL studios, getting ready for today's segment of the interview featuring Jim Hebner and UNC Chancellor Holden Thorpe. Here is Rand Northam.
Thank you very much, Ron. Outgoing UNC Chapel Hill Chancellor Holden Thorpe blasted the UNC system of governance, saying it is driven by politics and entrenched stakeholders who don't want to give up their jobs. In a WCHL news special with Jim Hebner, he said that puts UNC at a competitive disadvantage. He talked of the successes and failures, what he's leaving behind for Dartmouth College's interim president, Carol Folt, and what he's heading to Washington University. Yesterday, we brought you part five of the interview. All this week, we have been bringing you that, and we started last week. You can also find all of the segments posted on our website, chapelboro.com. Now, here is the final part of that conversation.
Chancellor, my guess is that the part of your new role as chief academic officer at Washington University is that you will not have to, as they say, work the legislature. Now, your successor and the school's representatives will have to deal with a new governor who has taken square aim at UNC. He's appointed the nemesis of UNC, Art Pope, an arts conservative architect of the Pope Foundation on Higher Education, to be the state budget director. Now, the school already had budget problems, so how great a cause of concern is this?
Well, I think it's a huge cause of concern, and there are a lot of things in the governor's budget that are troubling. But I also believe that the university is obligated to provide the legislature with as detailed an understanding of higher education and what our goals and objectives are and how we operate as can possibly be done. And I think that what that takes is energy and optimism, and I believe that Carol Folt and the legislative team that we have, Jennifer Willis, who's very experienced in North Carolina politics, will argue their case aggressively. And Carolina has been here for 200-plus years, and we've had all kinds of different political discussions and opposition, and here we are still a top 10 research university doing all the great things that we are. So the new folks will soldier on, and the new politicians will learn a lot about Carolina and how important it is to the state.
Well, Republican Governor McCrory says he wants to change the way higher education is funded in North Carolina. He wants the school to be focused more on careers for graduates and away from academic pursuits, quote, that have no chance of getting people jobs, to which you respond.
Well, I've been well staked out for my whole time in higher education on the importance of liberal arts education, and our whole innovation initiative is based on the recognition of the fact that we need broadly educated people to create the new ideas in this country, and that we can't train people for jobs that are going to exist 4 years after they start college, because our students are going to be working for 70 years, maybe, if you think about what the life expectancy of our recent graduates, certainly 60 years. And so our job is to teach them for a lifetime of working and contributing. And the way we do that is the way that we have done it for 200 years, which is to teach them to teach themselves and to teach them to love learning and reading and writing. And those are the things that we've done successfully all these years. And America's higher education system is the greatest in the world. And I believe it always will be. And the reason is because the liberal arts education has been the defining characteristic of American higher education. And universities all over the world are trying to copy it. And they're not having long panel discussions with various politicians about whether it's a good idea. China and India and Singapore are building American-style liberal arts-based research universities as fast as they can build them. And for us to be spending time arguing over whether it's a good idea to have done it the way we have done it is putting it us at a competitive disadvantage.
How much of UNC's funding comes from the legislature right now, and how has that changed over the last decade?
Well, it's still over $400 million that we get in state appropriations, and that has shrunk to about 18% of the operating budget. But when you hear that number, it's important to remember the fact that that number is just the arithmetic of the operating budget. It doesn't include the physical plant, which is owned by the state of North Carolina and for which we don't pay any rent. So if you were to think about what the value of that would be, and in going to Washington University, I'm very cognizant of that, because refreshing the physical plant is a physical challenge that the provost is very involved in. And the other thing that it doesn't do is look at the percentage of the money that we use for teaching that comes from state appropriations. So we have $400 million from state appropriations and another $250 or so from tuition. And that's what we call the general fund. So the other pieces of income that the university gets are all dedicated to specific functions. And so if you think about the money that we get specifically to operate the teaching part of the university, in fact, the state appropriations closer to two-thirds of that.
So it's hard to envision a time in your lifetime when the university might, as maybe some others, it seems to me University of Virginia is less dependent on the state than the University of North Carolina. Isn't that correct?
That's correct. And I would say that among the truly great research universities, public research universities of the country, Carolina and Wisconsin are the two, and Florida are the three that still have the kind of state support that we do. California used to be there with us, but with all the troubles that they've had, they've come to depend much more on tuition. So I sincerely hope that we will be able to continue at Carolina to have the kind of support we have, because the changes that have had to be made, for example, in California to adapt to being a more tuition-driven model have had lots of different consequences.
So when we look at the checks and balances, if you did not have that state support at that level, the university would have the freedom to do things more the way it would like to do.
And there are days when we would love to have that. But if you look at the – and you hear all the time – particularly from the universities that only have 4 or 5% of their operating budget from their states. You know, why are we having to put up with all these state government restrictions when we're only getting so little money? But the and that's, of course, there are days in South Building and across the campus where people make that analysis here. But the state support does two things that you just can't replace. One is to allow students to come to Carolina and have the same experience that they would have at a private university without having to leave their home state. Because there are a lot of kids who just wouldn't be emotionally prepared to move to Boston to get a great college education. And the second is that we don't have a $60,000 sticker price, that even though schools that have that price do a great job with financial aid, there are a huge number of students who are scared off from applying in the first place by those high sticker prices. And so those things are to be cherished at the University of North Carolina. They create, one of the things that's so special about a public university is the diversity of backgrounds that students bring, and also the diversity of ambitions that they have. So it's much more likely at Carolina to find students who want to join the Peace Corps and want to go work at a museum and want to do rural medicine and want to go to Silicon Valley and work at Starbucks until they find a job at a startup. And they're not all focused on getting that offer from McKinsey or Goldman or getting into medical school as the students who are paying $60,000 a year to go to college. And that creates that wonderful environment that everybody is so crazy about at Carolina comes from the high degree of academic accomplishment the students bring with the diversity of backgrounds and objectives that they have. And that is the essence of Carolina.
Finally, Chancellor, I think Michael Hooker would roll over in his grave if he knew that the comments by recently that we've heard from Art Pope and Governor McCrory made me think of Michael Hooker in challenging the paradigm, challenging the status quo. James Meeser, your predecessor, said in the studio one time that the universities are not really liberal, but the most conservative, hidebound, resistant to change organizations in society. And I'm thinking about Michael Hooker, who wrote that paper that's been floated around here for a long time, where he said, if we focus on learning, there are many traditions that we ought to question. Where's the proof that 120 credit hours makes an educated person? What does the baccalaureate degree, what does it really certify? And so those are big kind of macro sort of questions that are hard to tackle, as we talked about earlier, when things are going well. But does anyone on the campus spend any time with any substance really looking at that, looking at whether we ought to think about changing the paradigm?
Well, we spend a lot of time talking about the undergraduate experience and what it means and how it should change. And the trustees have had a set of committees looking at these questions that will make a report to Chancellor Folt for her to consider these big issues. But I think that, and again, this goes back to a lot of different things that we've talked about today, but the main problem that we're wrestling with is that the complexity that these institutions have taken on in terms of the hospital, in terms of intercollegiate sports, in terms of the high degree of service we provide, in terms of campus safety, all of these things that the public is very, very interested in, taking care of that does make it harder to contemplate these big questions. And so I think in terms of asking your listeners to participate in this, supporting the administration in a way that trusts the decisions that get made about these non-academic matters is what needs to happen in order to provide the opportunity for the university to discuss the very kinds of questions that you're raising. And our private peers who don't have to lobby the legislature and don't have to do public relations in the same way and don't have big-time sports, they have more time to debate these issues. And that's a competitive disadvantage for public universities.
You also raised an interesting question last week about the university's governance overall. When you talked in that sports panel, you said many of the governing boards include at least some, but by no means all of the people who sought appointment on the boards precisely so they could get close to athletics. And that brings up a question, I think, that if you could be the king, if you didn't have to worry about the politics of it, and you're going away now, would you change the governance process of the university?
Oh, yes, I would. I think we have the most complicated, convoluted governance system. I'm sure in 1971, when Mr. Friday devised the whole thing, it made perfect sense. But to have two governing boards, both politically appointed, I don't think there's anything you can do about the fact that in a public university you have a politically appointed board. But to have two boards, one board of trustees and one board of governors, where there's always debate and some confusion about where the authority lies, makes it very, very hard to figure out the right course of action. I mean, if you take the president plus the two boards, the chancellor works for 45 politically appointed people. And, you know, private universities have large boards, but they're not politically appointed. And some of them serve for a long time, so they develop a lot of expertise about the university. And so, yes, if I had the ability to change the system, I think we ought to go to a system where the chancellor just works for one board. And I don't think that's going to happen because it would displace people who are in roles that they have sought deliberately. But, yes, I think that that puts North Carolina at a competitive disadvantage compared to states where the president and chancellor is either working for just a campus board or just a system board.
Chancellor Holden. You've always said, just call me Holden. I think that reflects the generally non-ostentatious way that you've gone about your business here. So I'm going to conclude by dropping my reporter's skeptical objectivity for a moment, and I know that I think I speak for about everyone listening to this when I note that wherever you go, I think you will always be one of us, and of course the same applies to Patty. We started with the top headline, which was the big news, but I'd like to close with sort of your parting thoughts, how you want historians and local citizens to remember your service to UNC and what you may want to say to them.
Well, I hope people will remember, and I think the events and things that have happened in September and in the last few weeks show that I care deeply about the people who work at the university, who go to school at the university, and who live here in Chapel Hill. I think some commentary might say that I cared too much about that and not enough about some of the external constituents. And if that's true, then I guess I'll take that, because I care deeply about the people who work here and the people who live in this community and the students who go to school at Chapel Hill. And so the progress that we've made in town politics and the progress that we've made in labor relations and the strong support that I have enjoyed from the faculty, those are the things that mean the most to me and to Patty, because we care about the people of this town and the people of this university community. And so I hope that's how people will remember me.
And nothing about remembering the way you played that guitar or the keyboard?
Well, you know, I've told some people when I've spoken at events and gotten a few laughs, I said, if the new chancellor is funnier than I am, please don't tell me.
Chancellor Holden, thank you very much.
Thanks, Jim.
That was part six of a WCHL News special with Jim Hevner, speaking with UNC Chancellor Holden Thorpe as he prepares to depart Carolina and take the position of provost at Washington University in St. Louis. If you missed any part of that interview, you can hear it again today at 3:30 and 5:30 on the WCHL Afternoon and Evening News with Aaron Keck. The entire interview will also be played tomorrow and Sunday, a 90-minute interview with the outgoing UNC Chancellor Holden Thorpe. WCHL News Time is 8:48. Ron Stutz and the WCHL community crew right now at Squid's Restaurant for the Teacher's First Breakfast. We'll send it back to him in just a moment after this quick timeout.
Great Outdoor Provision Company is celebrating the women's active lifestyle this month with Prana Sportswear and our Girls Night Out event. Join us on May 9th for an evening of inspiration from Carborough resident Sage Roundtree, a Prana athlete and yoga professional. Great Outdoor Provision Company is committed to the lifestyle of the woman athlete. You'll find Prana's performance fabrics and beautiful clean styling to be a spring favorite. Drop by the shop and see what's new for spring. Visit us at Eastgate Shopping Center. Learn more at greatoutdoorprovision.com.
Have you given up on organized religion? What if you found a church that was fun, energetic, encouraging, diverse, and actually made a difference in the world? This is Kenner Fenner, pastor of Grace Church of Chapel Hill, and I want to invite you to try a new kind of church. We believe in truth, but practice grace. We're into Jesus and social justice. We are young and old, married and single. We are white, black, Hispanic, and Asian. We are Democrats, Republicans, and Independents. And we have a blast doing life together. Check us out. It may be the best hour of your week. Grace Church, online at gracelife.com.
If you're looking for the kind of primary care you deserve, join the all-new Duke Integrative Primary Care Practice. For a modest annual fee, you will have expert physicians who give you all the time you need to discuss all the health concerns you have, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. To learn more or attend a free information session, visit DukeIntegrativeMedicine.org. Duke Integrative Primary Care, transforming your health and your life. Only minutes from Chapel Hill, open to all and now accepting insurance.
I'm Kevin Cohan of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Eric White. Hey, Kev, what do you like most about living in Chapel Hill and working at Franklin Street Realty?
Well, Eric, for me, it's really about the people. Before real estate, I spent many years as the general partner of an investment firm interacting with a computer screen. Now, I really enjoy connecting with my clients and brainstorming with the great group of agents at Franklin Street Realty.
I agree. You know, I spent the first 20 years of my life in Chapel Hill, and the second 20 years spent mostly on Hilton Head Island running my marketing company, which specialized in real estate. I finally found my way back home. I love this town. So glad to be a Tar Heel again.
I know what you mean. I spent a few years overseas and in New York, but my heart never left the hill. It's great to know a place like the back of your hand, and it's really cool to be raising my family in the same great town where I grew up.
I hear you. You know, I feel like I am Chapel Hill.
And I am a true blue Tar Heel.
And we are Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else?
Really, why would you?
Our name is WCHL. Our dial position is 97.9 FM. Our website is chapelboro.com, where you can listen from anywhere in the world. With instantly live streaming, you can always start your day with Ron Stutz on 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Well, good morning. This is Ron Stutz once again at Squid's Restaurant for the teacher's first breakfast. And want to say how much I appreciate Rand Northam back in the studio this morning. Rand, thank you for all your hard work during the show this morning.
I'm glad to be here, and thank you, Ron.
In addition to all that, thanks to Lauren Stafford, to Barry Leffler, and especially to Anthony Wellman, who is, without his hard work, we wouldn't be here doing this. And he is taking care of all the technical issues, the WCHL community crew. And let me just say, before this goes out of my head, I have an opportunity to say something about the Chancellor, Chancellor Holden Thorpe. You know, it's been interesting hearing this interview as we played it in segments all week long with Jim Hebner and the Chancellor sitting down talking about a lot of things. On his way out, he's on his way out to Washington University in St. Louis. But I don't think that we had the opportunity to find out what a great Chancellor Holden Thorpe could have been. He had so many things thrown at him. He had to spend almost his entire time dealing with crises and was never able to really relax and settle into the job and do the things that he wanted to do. I'm sure that as he leaves, he will have a lot of regrets of things he didn't get to because of all the complicated situations that he had to deal with. On the other hand, I will have regrets that we didn't get a chance to see what a great chancellor he could be and that we're losing him to another university and another community. Really hate to see Holden Thorpe leave. One of the smartest guys you're ever going to meet anywhere. Versatile. You know, I love the part about him being a musician when he broke out the guitar and played Johnny B. Goode. Of course, he plays with Equinox, keyboard. Just a really talented guy in so many ways. And could have been just the most wonderful chancellor anybody could have ever imagined, but he just had so many things to deal with, you know. And Carol Folt, nothing against her. I have not had the opportunity to meet her yet. I'm sure she's going to be great. really hate to see Chancellor Holden Thorpe go. And Patty Thorpe, hate to see her go too, because she is such an integral part of our community. Now, Rand, I just wanted to get that off my head, off my chest, while I had the opportunity. Let me talk just a moment here about the Teacher's First Breakfast. We're coming to the end here. It's kind of winding down, and all of the teachers, for the most part, have gone because they had to go to class. You know, they get here early. Some don't even come inside. Hundreds actually get a to-go order and take it away. As Kim Hoke said earlier today, the very first customer was a school bus driver. And, you know, these folks need to be shown appreciation. Teachers are very much underpaid and underappreciated. I think they have one of the most important jobs out there, and we appreciate them. And I know the folks here at the Chapel Hill Restaurant Group appreciate them, and that's why they do what they do. But thank you to everybody here at Squids for helping make all this happen. Thank you to the Chapel Hill Cover of Public School Foundation for doing such a great job coordinating this. You know, Greg Overbeck and the other folks here of Squids have talked about what a machine they are. They come in, they're so well organized, you don't have to explain anything to anybody, because this group of women who's been doing this for so long, they have it down to a science. It's amazing. They do it every year, and it's a great event. So thanks for the opportunity for us to be here broadcasting at WCHL, and we'll do it again next year. All right? Rand Northam back in the studio. Rand, thank you so much, and I'm going to hand it back to you, and you can take the show on the road into the Stephanie Miller Show, top of the hour, and everything else coming up throughout the day, and I will see you on the radio.
Ron, thanks so much. Ron Stutz at Squid's Restaurant again for the Teacher's First Breakfast this morning. Ron Stutz and the WCHL community crew. Well, coming up next, we've got the Village Pride Award, and we're going to have a chance for you to turn it back to the 7 o'clock hour. We spoke with Wayne Pond. I will give you a chance to call in for that word of the day. Don't call yet. We'll give you that chance in just a moment.
Moms deserve the best, and there's nothing better than celebrating over a special meal. That's why Glass Half Full Restaurant, Wine Bar, and Wine Shop in downtown Carrboro will be open for dinner this year on Mother's Day, the 12th of May. Come toast your mom and maybe your beaming graduate with flavorful contemporary American cooking and stylish wines from around the world. Glass Half Full reservations can be made by calling 919-967-9784. Your mom deserves the best at Glass Half Full.
Fitch Lumber and Hardware has been around for a century because they pay attention to their customers. They've got everything you need for your home projects, large and small, and take time to offer you as much or as little advice and helpful tips as you need. The staff is experienced, knowledgeable, and available when you need assistance. Just one of the reasons they've been voted best hardware store in Orange and Chatham counties for 4 years in a row by the Independent Weekly. And Fitch Lumber and Hardware is right here in downtown Carrboro, so stop by or give them a call at 942-3255.
Good morning, I'm Rand Northam. WCHL News Time is 8:56. And what was that word of the day today? Ron Stutz will usually give you an easy time. He'll give you a little hint. No hint today. It's Friday. Let me know. Give me a call. 919-929-WCHL. 919-929-9245.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Kristen Rogers is a social worker at UNC Healthcare. For the last 6 years, she's been working with women who really needed help in the Horizons program.
The Horizons residential program is part of the actual university department of the OBGYN, and we have two residential programs for women and their children who suffered with substance abuse issues. The women come and reside in our residential program for 12 months with their children, and we work with them on a variety of different issues, including their parenting, DBT, or other substance abuse issues.
Kristen Rogers is a very special person, and she's today's WCHL hometown hero. She says this can be rewarding work.
It's very stressful, but it is rewarding when you see the changes that occur in people's lives and how much better their lives become because of all the work they do themselves.
Kristen works with a variety of women.
I teach at least 2 to 3 groups every week with all the clients working on their job readiness skills. Some clients come in with no high school education at all, and some come in with college or postgraduate degree. Substance abuse is a disease that affects people of all ages, races, color, all of that. It affects all of us, and the people that I deal with and teach the classes to come to me with different skill sets, with different abilities and different needs. And so I work with them on better preparation for themselves as they move forward to self-sufficiency and employment and education.
The Horizons program has some very definite goals.
Focus primarily on sobriety, handling the substance abuse issues. They also focus on teaching people about professionalism. Then it also works on their parenting and bringing the family unit back together in a healthy manner.
The bottom line is Kristen Rogers always wanted to help people.
I did. I actually grew up overseas with parents who were missionaries, and so I saw my parents doing that kind of work where they were helping people who were underserved and really needed assistance. And so that's always been a love of mine, to just see people go from a not so great place to getting it better and better and better. And so that's always been really high on my priority list, just to be of assistance to others.
Kristen Rogers was nominated by Mike Komovas for today's recognition. It's easy to see why Kristen is today's WCHL hometown hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
Good morning, I'm Rand Northam. Thanks for joining us for the WCHL Friday Morning News. Have a wonderful weekend. You're listening to 97.9 FM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carboro's News, Talk, and Tar Heel Station.
Chapel Hill Economic Development. Open for business, to business. Find out more on the web at open to business.